Psalm 139, verse number 23. The psalmist cried out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for this place we have to meet, this group that's here. Father, we are here because we love you. We're here, Father, because we want to hear from you. God, I pray that those thoughts that you've given me as I have studied and I have meditated and prayed, I pray, Father, you'd help me to communicate them in a way that would be pleasing to you. And Father, I pray you'd take your word as we think about it this morning, Father, something very real and very practical to us. I pray, Father, you would use it to speak to our hearts and to challenge us. And Father, we pray most of all, should there be anyone today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, does not know for sure they'll go to heaven when they die, does not know their sins have been forgiven, I pray, Father, you'd speak especially to that heart today. And God, show them the need they have that most of us have already experienced, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. For we that are saved, Father, may we rejoice in what you've done, what you've given us, and what you continue to do each and every day. Bless us, we ask, through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to pick just a small phrase, and it's going to be so timely for us. Verse number 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, in the Bible, the word heart usually is not a reference to our physical heart. In fact, out of 950 references that I have gone over in the last few days, not even one or two, maybe at the most, really can you make to be an application to that living, breathing organ that beats in our hearts upon which our life depends. It's not the physical heart that the Bible talks about, but the metaphysical heart. We use the word metaphor. It means it symbolizes something. It's like it. The metaphysical heart, we in America think of the heart as the seat of emotion. We draw little hearts on everything. We just got done with Valentine's Day, and it was a heart day. Everything was about hearts. But the metaphysical heart in the Bible is not just about emotion. In the Bible, when we read the word heart, it's talking about not only our emotional being, but our mental being. It's talking about our will. When we read in the heart that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, it's obviously not talking about that physical organ. It's talking about our metaphysical part. And it's not just talking about our emotions, that our emotions are deceitful. It's talking about our being. Our emotions, they deceive us. Our mental state deceives us. Our will deceives us. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the heart. I've entitled this message, "How is Your Heart?" One of the things, obviously, that has led to this message is Brother Gary Edmonds. The times that I've been over the last 2 weeks to visit him at Ohio State, not just him, but I was trying to count up how many times in the years of our church that I've been to Ohio State University to visit people in the Ross Heart Hospital, and there's quite a few of them. I won't try to name them for fear of leaving somebody out. But there's been a number of times I've been over there to visit folks because they have a heart problem. When I began this message, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I was reading my Bible at the same time as I was experiencing the things that Gary was going through and watching that. I was reading my Bible, and I came across where God took out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. And I thought, well, isn't that something? Right when I'm reading about this and praying for somebody going through the same thing. So this has been a while ago, a couple of weeks ago. I said, I'm going to make a study of what the Bible says about the heart. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I know it says, be tender-hearted one toward another. And I thought, well, here's a stony heart and a heart of flesh. And I'm going to look in the Bible. If I can find six or seven things that the Bible says about the heart, I've got a message right there. That's how preachers get their messages. Conversations with people that spur some kind of thought. Hearing something on the radio or maybe something that's going on in society, or maybe when I'm doing my Bible reading, like reading about the stony and fleshly heart. or maybe, you know, things that are going on. That's how preachers get their message, and so I've usually got a couple weeks reserved ahead of time because it gives me time to develop it and think about it and meditate on it and do all that stuff. So all these things happen at the same time. I thought, I'm going to find six or seven things about the heart. So I went through the concordance and said, I want to find six or seven things, like, you know, the stony heart and the fleshly heart and the tender heart. I want to find seven I can preach on. I've got 62. Let me give you the 62 things the Bible says about the heart. I'm not going to preach on them. I just want to give you the list. I want you to see how much the Bible says about the heart. That's what I don't want you to get each point out of this. Now, for your benefit, this list of the 62 times it says about the heart, I ran this off, and there's a bunch of them out in the lobby you can get on your way out, so you don't need to write this down in shorthand while I'm reading through it. But I just want you to be impressed right now with how many different kinds. Can we call this the diagnosis of the great physician looking at the hearts of man, and here's what he sees? There's a bitter heart. I've got them in alphabetical order, too. Takes a lot of time. There's a bitter heart. There's a broken heart. There's a clean heart. There's a contrite heart. There's a deceitful heart. There's a deceived heart. Not the same thing. A deceitful heart and a deceived heart. There is a despiteful heart in the Bible. There's a divided heart. There's a double heart. There's a doubting heart. I wonder, as we go through these lists, how many would the great physician look at you and I and say, that's their heart problem. That's their trouble. There's an enlarged heart. Now, that's a good thing, at least in the Bible. There's an established heart, also good. There's an evil heart, an exalted heart, not good. A faint heart, a faithful heart, a fat heart. And by the way, that's not good either. And when you get the paper, you can look up the reference and see it and see what it's talking about. There's a fearful heart, a foolish heart, a froward heart, a glad heart, a good heart. There's a heart that's waxed gross. There's a hardened heart, a haughty heart, a heavy heart. We've all experienced that from time to time. There's an impenitent heart we'll talk about in just a few minutes. There's a merry heart. There's a melted heart in the book of Nahum. There's a new heart. There's an obstinate heart. There's an open heart. There's an overwhelmed heart. There's a perfect heart. There's a perverse heart. A prepared heart. A pricked heart. Acts chapter 2. Not about the Apostle Paul, but another place. There's a proud heart. There is, and this has the most references, a pure heart. There's a purposed heart. There's a rebellious heart. There's a sick heart. There's a soft heart. There's a slow heart. That's not, again, talking about not beating fast enough. There's a sound heart. That's a good thing. A stony heart. Not good. A stout heart. A subtle heart. A tender heart, a trembling heart, a troubled heart, a true heart, an unbelieving heart. We'll look at that in just a moment. An understanding heart, an upright heart, a veiled heart. They've got a veil over their heart that they could not believe. A vexed heart, a weak heart, a whorish heart, a wicked heart, a willing heart, and a wise heart. Those are 62 different types of heart that God identifies and recognizes and diagnoses. And of course, obviously, we're not going to go through all 62 of those, but I did take time to go through them, and 39 are negative and 23 are positive. So that doesn't mean everything's bad. It's not all bad. You know, somebody says about a person, well, they have a good heart. We know what folks mean by that. They're a good-natured person. They're a good-hearted person. They're a caring person. And that's a good thing to have, and we need to strive to have the right kind of heart. But can I tell you this morning that the overwhelming evidence is that there's a bad heart. And it's a bad thing to have a bad heart. And the great physician, through his word, looks down at our heart. When he looks at our heart, what kind of heart does he see? We come to church on Sunday morning, we put on some decent clothes. We probably put on some perfume or cologne, brush our teeth. Hopefully. Use some deodorant even. It's Sunday after all. Use it once a week anyways. Took a bath Saturday night or a shower. We do the best to present the best that we can to those that see us. And a lot of folks think they can do the same thing to God. They can put on a front that God will see when they want God to see it, but they don't realize that God doesn't just see us when we want Him to see us. He sees us when we're at our best. He also sees us when we're at our worst. He sees us when we're upbeat and happy. He sees us when we're down and discouraged. And God looks at our heart all the time. I wonder, what does God see when He looks at our heart? I was in Brother Gary's room a couple of weeks ago before the surgery took place, and they were putting the catheter in and put the camera in there and looked at his heart. And I was amazed. I love that kind of stuff. I don't know why. But I was sitting in his room as they were preparing him, and they thought they were going to do things earlier than they did, so we were in there, we were in the room, and one of the doctors was in there, and they put up on the screen, on the monitor, they put up what the camera saw inside his heart. And I'm looking at the guy laying in a bed right here, and here on the picture is inside his heart. The three big veins that come in, and the doctors sit there explaining about what his problem is, and the three veins, and how they can sit there, and on a monitor, with our technology today, it's just amazing. Imagine how many people in years gone by passed away and died of things that today they can take care of and patch up. We've got folks here that have had open heart surgery before and have had many years since then. 100 years ago, that didn't happen. They didn't have that. But that technology where they can put a camera up in the veins and take a picture and say, now look, here's one of the clogs right here. You can see where the vein's tight. And I watched that thing and I thought, isn't that amazing? But then I was reminded, God sees my heart just like that. God sees your heart just like that. He's got a camera that goes in and can examine every. And again, we're talking about not the physical, but the metaphysical heart. But at the same time, He gives us that illustration of it. And God can go in and He can examine our heart and He can look at it and He can see exactly the condition of your heart this morning. How's your heart? The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Take your Bible if you would. We'll not be back there to Psalms, so don't worry about saving the place. But turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you what our great physician is able to do. Long before man came up with the technology. See, I appreciate, and usually when I'm praying for somebody that's in the hospital, I thank God for the miracles of modern medicine. I'm thankful that they can do things today that, you know, back in the day, you know, you bit down on a bullet, took a sip of whiskey while they cut your leg off with a saw. I'm glad. Maybe I'm not man enough, I don't know, but I'm glad I didn't live in those days. Knock me out. Do you want something? Do you want to be conscious or unconscious? I don't want to know a thing. Knock me out. I'm thankful for the technology that we have, the monitor and showing the heart in there. But can I tell you this? God predated all that modern technology. God had everything at His disposal before man ever thought of it. Man's a late comer. Everything that man invents, God knew about before he even thought of it. And God has a catheter. God has a camera that He sticks down into our heart and examines our heart so He can see the condition of the heart and then put it on the screen and show it to us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says this, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." That verse, long before modern medical science, is an amazing verse. That God can get down and divide between the soul and the spirit. Man hasn't even figured that one out yet. But He can get down there to the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, here's what God does. He takes the Word of God. And with the Word of God, He probes and puts it down into our heart to see exactly how our heart is doing. How does our heart respond to the Word of God? Now, there are a lot of folks today that don't want to have anything to do with the Bible. You know what the problem is? They've got heart trouble, and they don't want to know about it. As long as they don't have the camera put in there, they're not going to know if there's any blockages. And as long as they can live not knowing there's a problem, now they said with Brother Gary, he's got two of the arteries were 80 to two of the three main arteries were 80 to 90% closed. One of his breakoff arteries was 60 to 70% closed. He had four of them that were closed. And he didn't know it. They were surprised he hadn't had a heart attack. In fact, one doctor even said he probably has had one and wasn't drastic enough to realize it. But he walked around with those arteries blocked like that without even knowing it. That's just like a lot of people in the world today. Spiritually speaking, are walking around with blocked and clogged arteries spiritually, and they don't even know it because they won't submit themselves to hearing the Word of God, that God might put that camera in through the catheter and take a picture of their heart. They don't want to know about it. Because they know that if God looks at their heart, it's blocked. It's blocked by sin. The heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Folks, no matter how good a front we put on the outside, no matter how good a person, and I understand by human terminology, there are good people. But the Bible says of every single one of us, we've got a blockage in our heart, and that blockage is sin, and it needs to be cleaned out, or we're going to die. Not physically, but spiritually. Men are facing a spiritual death, eternity separated from God, because they don't want to find out they've got a heart problem. And that's kind of man's nature today, isn't it? We don't want to know. Don't want to know if there's something wrong. Just let me live without knowing about it. You know, I think it's interesting as I thought about this. The Bible says in those last days that men's hearts will give out for fear. Men's hearts. I was going to do this and didn't think to do it. I wonder how many women have a heart attack. Because you don't hear about it too often. It's usually men. And the Bible said men's hearts giving out for fear. We have, folks, we have a heart problem. All of us, male, female, young, old, alike. We have a heart problem. We have a blockage. And that blockage is sin. And there's nobody that can remove their own heart blockage. If we could, we'd do it. We wouldn't go to a doctor. We wouldn't let the insurance pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. If we had some way of personally coming in here and taking out the blockage of our heart, we would do it. But we can't. We need to find someone who can. We need a doctor who's been trained. We need a doctor who's got experience. Don't you like a doctor that's got a little bit of gray on his head? Gary was sitting in his room and one of these doctors came in and, I mean, hey boy, how you doing? You got your driver's license? How'd you get here today? This young fella, this doctor came in and he was telling Gary, he said, now I'm Dr. So-and-so. And of course there's 1,000 doctors, you know, one referring to the other, and we won't talk about why that is, but there's all these doctors one at a time that come into the office and check on him. And this doctor came in, he said, now I'm not the doctor that's going to do it, but the doctor that's going to do it, he's a good young man. And I thought, wait a minute, you're barely shaven and you're telling me the doctor that's going to cut his chest open and operate his heart is a young man? How young is this guy? You know, we like to see a little gray around the temples or something there when we know somebody's going to do this workout. Can I tell you, you've got a physician that's seen everything? You've got a physician that nothing's going to take him by surprise? He's not going to get in there and say, oh, they didn't cover this in medical school. What do I do here? He's not going to leave any tools inside when they put you back together? You've got a great physician, and you've got a heart that's got a blockage and needs to be cleaned, and you've got somebody that can take care of it, but you've got to let him do it. You can't say no. You can't say, I'll wait till later. You got to take care of the problem now. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter 7. If you're not yet convinced that you have a heart problem. Again, there are so many references in the Bible, as I told you. It's just 950 different references to heart, hearts, plural, hearted. But look at this one in Mark chapter 7 that pretty much gives us a view of the whole thing. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men. Now again, we're not talking about the physical heart. That physical heart just pumps blood. It's got oxygen in there, and that's what happens when we have a heart attack. It gets blocked, and the oxygen and blood don't get through. So that's talking about that metaphysical. It's talking about our being. It's talking about who we are, our thoughts, our will. For within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. All right, God puts that catheter of the Word of God in, and He looks in your heart, and He finds a blockage. What is that blockage? Adulteries. Fornications. You say, preacher, I haven't committed either one. He said thoughts. Thoughts. He didn't say deeds. He said thoughts. Modern television is geared to make you think about those very things right there. Modern society is promoting those very things right there. And the Bible says when He puts that catheter of the Word of God in our heart and He looks, here's what He finds. The thoughts of adultery. The thoughts of fornication. The thoughts of murder. Not committing it, the thoughts. Somebody says, I have a good heart. He's got a good heart. You don't see it the way God does. You see the deeds. God sees the thoughts. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He says in verse 22, thefts. Not that you stole anything, but you thought about it. You considered it for a brief moment. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man, from the heart. Folks, we have a heart problem. There's not a human being living and breathing today that can deny that they have a heart problem metaphysically, spiritually. Because from their heart comes all these different evil thoughts. The Bible talks about an evil heart. So God puts the catheter of the Word of God in it, and we read the Bible. And again, a lot of folks, they want to get as far from the Bible as they can because it's going to show them that they've got a problem. And they don't want to know about it. They don't want to deal with it. So they'll die prematurely. Maybe not in physical age, but in spiritual age. Because they'll refuse to acknowledge they have a problem of the heart. And God's sitting there saying, I've seen it, I've looked at it, let me give you my diagnosis. You've got a bad heart. It's blocked by sin. It's an unbelieving heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Again, the Bible is the one that gives us all the information. Oh, I'm in James. No wonder it didn't match. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Hebrews 3:12. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That's our blockage. That's what needs to be broken through. That's what needs to be fixed. That's the artery that's closed. That's the vein that's shut. Unbelief. Not unknowing. People say, well, I know there's a God. I know that Jesus died on the cross. I know that He was buried. I know that He rose again. And it's not knowing, it's believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not know about Him, believe. Put your faith and trust in Him as your only way of salvation. Until we do that, we've got a blockage of the heart, and sin is blocking it. An evil heart of unbelief. So God looks down with His holy scope, searches our heart, finds the blockage, and then prescribes a fix. How are we going to fix it? How are we going to take care of the blockage? Well, if it's a minor blockage, they go in there with that balloon angioplasty. You know, the more I talk about this, the more I'm glad I've never been through it. Some of you know, you've experienced, I'm looking at people right now that I know you've gone through these things. They go into that artery and they put that balloon in there and they puff it up and they open up those veins. And they hope that that's going to work. They hope that that's going to take care of the problem. And they do that, it's a minor problem, a minor blockage, and they put the balloon in and they take care of it. Well, we don't have a minor problem. Our heart doesn't have a small blockage. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 4. Notice, our heart problem is not a small problem. It's not a minor blockage. Proverbs 21 verse 4, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A proud heart is sin. I don't need God. I don't need Christ. I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need righteous living. I don't need it. A proud look. That's the problem. Balloon angioplasty isn't going to fix it. That blockage of sin in there, adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, all those things, that's what's blocking. A balloon isn't going to fix it. Well, the problem's a little more major than that. So when it comes to our heart, they say this, and this is what Gary thought going in. They said, well, if we can fix it with a stent, that's what we'll do. Now, the stent is a little piece of material that they put in that vein that holds it open. A balloon opens it up temporarily, hoping it will stay open. The stent is something they put in there that opens up, that stays in there and keeps it open. Gary couldn't have that because of how many it would take. All that metal in his body, or all that material in his body, would cause kidney problems, so they couldn't do that. But if the balloon doesn't work, then they say, well, here's the next best remedy. We'll put a stent in there. That will keep the arteries open. If your problem's not that bad, I mean, if it's really not bad, you do the balloon. If it's a little bit bad, you do the stent. Well, will that satisfy for us? Will that work for us? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2. Just a few references here and we'll be done. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Again, I love the words of our Bible. They can't be updated or modernized or replaced without losing the value of it. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse number 30, but Sion, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 30. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate. Made his heart obstinate. Now I had to look up. Nothing wrong with using a dictionary. If you don't understand a word, look it up. Increase your vocabulary. Don't look for a Bible that dumbs down the word and brings it down to our level. Look it up in the dictionary. I've got a list in the back of my Bible of all the words that I have to look up because I don't, and it's not as many as you think in a King James Bible. They say, well, it's all those words. No, there's not that many. But here's a word, obstinate. Not some. I mean, we do use that. It's a pretty common word. That child's just obstinate. Well, I look it up in the dictionary. It means to stubbornly refuse to change. To stubbornly refuse to change. You know what God said? We've got an obstinate heart. When he sends that camera up there, he says, we can't do it with a balloon because you've got a proud heart. We can't do it with stents because your heart's just obstinate. No matter how much reasoning, no matter how many convincing arguments we give, you still insist there's nothing wrong. You still insist there's no problem. That's the way modern man is today. No matter how many times they hear about the need of salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't need it. They're obstinate. They have an obstinate heart. So God says, well, the balloon's not going to work. The stent's not going to work. What do we do next? Well, the next option is bypass surgery. We'll just go around the clog. We'll just pass it by. I wonder if we can do that. Can we just bypass our sins? Can we just go around the bad things, the thoughts, the fornications, the lascivious? Can we just get away around them somehow? Do we really have to deal with the clog, or can we bypass it? Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verse number 5. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of the wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. What is our problem? Romans 2:5 says, an impenitent heart. Not just obstinate, not just proud, but impenitent. Impenitent means not feeling shame or regret. Not feeling shame or regret. The opposite of penitent. The opposite of repentance. We have an impenitent heart, not feeling shame. You know, the world is feeding impenitent hearts today. Young people don't blush at what my generation blushed at. My generation doesn't blush at what some of your generations blushed at. Why? We've been hardened by sin. There's no shame anymore. We have an impenitent heart. So God puts the Word of God in there and examines our heart, and He says, we can't just put a balloon in there. It's more drastic. We can't put stents in there. That's not going to take care of it. We can't bypass it. We've got to deal with it. The problem is too bad. It's an obstinate, impenitent, proud, deceitful, lustful heart. How do we take care of it? There's only one way, and that's Ezekiel chapter 36. Two more verses and we're done. Ezekiel chapter 36. How do we deal with that bad heart? How do we deal with that obstinate heart, that impenitent heart? And again, you can get the list as you go out, those 60 things, 62 things. And that's not a conclusive, exhaustive list. But we have a heart problem. How do we deal with it? Well, God has the remedy. Ezekiel 36 and verse 26. God says this, a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. You know what we need? We need a heart transplant. Nothing else is going to fix it. Our hearts are bad. There's no cure. Nothing else is going to work. We need a transplant. We've got to have this old. And again, we're not talking about the organ that beats within our chest. We're talking about our being, our essence, what we are. It needs to be changed from the inside, not from the outside. Religion tries to change it from the outside. Gives us codes, gives us rules, gives us laws. Do these things, everything. No, we need a change in the inside. God said, a new heart will I give you. Well, how do we get that new heart? Romans chapter 10, and we'll be done. Romans chapter 10. I've been to Ohio State University, the Ross Heart Hospital, more times than I want to remember. I've seen folks go through all these different things. I've never seen one go through a transplant, fortunately. I know when Gary was in the room recovering from his surgery, a guy in the two doors over was recovering from a heart transplant, literally, physically. But I'm thankful that about 37 years ago, I got a heart transplant. Now, I'm thankful it wasn't my physical heart. Thankful I don't have the scars in here to show where God did the transplant. He does it without hands, the Bible says in Colossians 2. He's got an invisible knife that cuts us open. But I had a heart transplant. You say, what was that, preacher? That was the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had a bad heart. I didn't know it. Somebody came by and gave me the Word of God, and God took the Word of God that penetrated my heart. And at first I was obstinate. First I was impenitent. But God broke me down and showed me that I had a bad heart, and I cried out to Him for a new one. So how do you do that? Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. You know the verse, Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You want to fix your heart, you've got to let the great physician take care of it. He's done everything that's possible to do. There's nothing you can do. You go to that doctor at Ohio State or wherever it is, there's absolutely nothing you can do to fix your heart. You need somebody that knows how to do it. And you're putting your hand, you're putting your very life into the hands of someone you're hoping knows how to do it. Can I tell you, you need a heart transplant and there's somebody that knows how to do it. He's done thousands of them, hundreds of thousands, if not millions. He's done millions of heart transplants. He knows how to change your heart. He knows how to take out that old stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. Give you a heart that beats for God. Give you a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Gives you a heart that doesn't want that sin clogging it, that wants to clean those arteries out. God wants to give you a new heart. How's your heart? Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father in heaven, You look down upon this country.